John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. It is a Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We are taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. So, Joe, I was doing some digging around yesterday, and a thought came to my mind that I was just curious about. I was like, you know, if memory serves me correctly, the Titans, in their time in Tennessee, have never had a passer that's hit the 4,000-yard mark. The closest, and I did some research on this, was Ryan Tannehill in 2020, who was at 38-19. So he was right on the doorstep, right, you know, less than 200 yards away.
With a 2,000-yard rusher.
I mean, it shows you how good that offense was.
Yeah.
But they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. They have also, in their time in Tennessee, never had a receiver that's caught 100 passes in the season. Now, D-Mace came close. D-Mace in 2003 and 2004. In 2003, he had 95 catches, and in 2004, he had 96 catches. So our very own Derek Mason, very close. And you're also talking about a run-heavy offense, a different offense, you know, 20-some-odd years ago. So pretty impressive stuff from D-Mace there. Delanie Walker had 94 catches. Kendall Wright had 94 catches in 2013, which is still kind of amazing that that happened. But the Titans have never had a 4,000-yard passer in a season. Warren Moon did it, so the franchise has done it. Warren Moon did it in 90 and 91, where he threw for almost 4,700 yards in each of those seasons. So the franchise has done it. They have not done it since the team has moved to Tennessee. If you're curious, Cam Ward last season threw for 3,169 yards, which ranks 19th in the history of the franchise for yards in a season. Just behind Ken Stabler in 1980 at the age of 35, who threw for 3,200 yards.
Wow.
So there you go. Like McNair, I think McNair's best season in terms of just a passing yardage standpoint was 2002, where he threw for 3,387. So, again, we've talked about that. It's kind of a different era of the NFL and all those things. A 4,000-yard season in today's NFL, not quite the same thing that it used to be. I mean, it happens much more frequently now. First off, there's another game, so you add a 17th game to it. Secondly, teams are throwing the ball way more than they used to throw the ball. So, you know, combination of those two things, you see quarterbacks hit the 4,000-yard mark more often in today's NFL. You know, the 100-catch thing is interesting. The franchise record goes back to 1964. Charlie Hennigan, 101 catches for 1,500 yards that year. Haywood Jeffries also had a 100-catch season. Those are the only two that have had a 100-catch season in the history of the Oilers/Titans franchise. So, Joe, my question for you is this. Do either one of those numbers, a 4,000-yard passing season, a 100-catch receiver, does this version of the Titans have a chance to get either one of those this year in your mind? That would require Cam Ward going from 3,100 to 4,000, so you're talking a 900-yard increase from last year to this year. They did sign Wandale Robinson, who has caught over 90 passes in each of the last 2 years. I would assume he would probably be the prime candidate for that, depending on how often they throw the ball to him. But, Joe, in your mind, do the 2026 Tennessee Titans have a prayer of reaching either number for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, one of them means way more to me than the other. You know, because like if Cam Ward gets 4,000, I mean, that's yeah, it could be a lot of empty calories because you're behind and all that. But that still, to me, is like okay, that still means that he took steps.
Yep.
Even if he's throwing against soft zones, the fourth quarter is a blowout. I mean, 4,000 yards is still. I mean, it's yes, we've had 5,000 yard seasons now, and some of these offenses, some of these quarterbacks, but that's a pretty big deal. And I think it's possible. You know, I definitely think it's possible. The 100 catches, you know, it's almost like it's Wandale if it happens. It's him. You know, it's the slot guy. I mean, as we know, in Brian Daboll's offense, he did that. So he's going to be used the same way. If he gets to 100, though, I almost think, like, does that mean you're taking some opportunities away? Like, is Carnell Tate not demanding that the ball goes to him enough? Is Ridley hurt? Whatever. Like, are you not getting anything out of your tight end room? Are you not throwing to, you know, Spears or, like, Singleton? You know, I would like to probably not see the 100, you know? I mean, because it's going to be him, and it's like he's going to be him, and he's going to average, like, 9 yards a catch, and fine. That's a good thing to keep your offense moving, but – I mean, I'll take the 80-catch, 1,400-yard season over the 100-catch, you know, 980-yard season or whatever it is.
Yep.
The 4,000 yards, though, that would be a big deal. It does make me think back on, you know, you have to be of a certain age, but those Warren Moon teams, I mean, 90, 91, that was a run and shoot. And that was like 4,600 yards. Basically, he threw for 4,700 back-to-back years. That was like unheard of back then. It was – Haywood Jeffries, Curtis Duncan, man, they were so fun to watch. I mean, that's just a totally different level. But other than that, when there was a schematic, there was about five or six teams in the NFL that went to the run and shoot. That's a kind of an anomaly here in this history. It is wild that other than that, you know, a 35-year-ago kind of schematic thing that was a hot thing in the league for a few years. No one ever in this franchise has done it. It's
yeah.
And, you know, Tannehill's 38-19. Again, people can say, hey, it's great to have a 2,000-yard rusher, but like you said, think about that. They fed off each other. You know, he was great, and obviously Derrick Henry was great.
Well, people may say, you know, 4,000 yards is a heck of a bar to get to. And in some ways it is. Now, you've also seen, like, you know, I think Derek Carr's done it like three or four times. I mean, Jameis threw for like 5,000 the year he threw for 30 touchdowns and 30 picks or whatever it was.
Right,
Trevor Lawrence has thrown for 4,000 yards. You know, Jeff George in 1995 threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah,
I mean, you go up and down the list, you could find some quarterbacks on here and you're like, really? They threw for 4,000 yards in a season? Geno Smith threw for 4,000 yards a couple years ago in Seattle.
It doesn't guarantee excellence.
But it also, like, I think if you go down the list, I'm not saying it's not hard to get to, but there are plenty of quarterbacks on this list that have thrown for a bunch of yards that you're like, really? Like, you know, the number one overall pick should get there at some point. I mean, Blake Bortles threw for 4,400 yards in 2015. Now, if you remember that Jacksonville team, there's a lot of empty calories in that one. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the 4,000-yard mark, it seems like it's a huge ask to go from 3,100 and add another 900 to it next year. I don't think it is. Like, I think in today's NFL, that's an achievable thing for Cam Ward this year.
Because also, I mean, he went out real early in the 17th game, right?
Cam Ward? It was like the first drive.
Yeah. So he basically played 16 games, right? So if you took that away, you probably would add 200 to the total anyway. He might be at 34. You know, he might be at 34 right from last year right now. So then, okay.
I mean, health's a big part of this, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So we're obviously assuming health, assuming 17. But if you take that, I mean, you know, what's 600 divided by 17? I mean, it's really not that much.
Right. Exactly. Know? That's what I'm saying.
It's just a matter of, like, I mean, that number would be – it'd be nice to see someone get it. But, what's the QBR? What's the – is he up in the 60s? Does he get improve on there? You know, I mean, can he double the 15 touchdowns? You know, can he get to 25? Can he keep the picks? You know, 7 picks is a good rookie total for sure. Can he keep that around 10? You know, if you're having this more production and everything else,
it is objectively hilarious to look at the top of this, like, all time quarterback list of yards in a season. I mean, you've had 15 seasons in the history of the league where a guy has thrown for 5,000 yards or more. And it's like, okay, Peyton Manning threw for 5,400. You know, Drew Brees is on there like four or five times. Dan Marino's on there. Mahomes is on there. Brady's on there a few times. Stafford, like all that checks out. And it's like, Jameis Winston, number 10, 5,100 yards in 2019.
And that was the 30-30?
I believe so, yeah.
My goodness.
Is that the most – is that the craziest stat line from a season in history? 2019, it was his second – well, that's not right. Let's see. That was it. Okay, advanced passing. 2019, he threw for 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 30 picks. That's got to be the most incredible season ever, just in terms of just all over the map.
Right. If you take just the yardage and the touchdowns, you're like, so he was an MVP candidate?
Yeah.
He was actually a punchline of a joke that year.
30 picks
for
my guy.
Unbelievable. Like, how do you even have the opportunity to throw the ball that often that you get into the fives and you give it to the other team 30 times? That's incredible.
He had 626 passing attempts that year.
My
in 16
goodness.
Games.
I'm trying to look. I'm looking through the Titans' history on that. The only one, so Warren in '91 had 655.
Yeah.
Other than that, no one's ever gotten to six. That's a big number.
Well, and Tannehill, you know, you mentioned the year he threw for 3,800. He threw the ball 481 times. Like, it's really not that much,
right,
when it comes down to it.
It's balances.
We're gonna turn around hand the ball up, Derek Henry.
Balance is always the way, man.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. What'd you say how many pick sixes Jameis threw that year?
Seven. Someone asked, and I just searched it up. He threw seven pick sixes. He wasn't just throwing picks. He was, like, throwing just nasty picks. Just, here we go. Four, so 40 saw the end zone. 40 of his passes found the end zone.
Yeah. Seven, only 33 for his
seven
team.
Seven the other way.
It's pretty incredible.
That's an amazing season.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, buddy.
Good.
How are you?
How you doing?
Is it out of reach to be overly optimistic and say the Titans can win 10 games this year?
I don't think it's out of reach. I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. I mean, going from – we've seen teams over the last couple of years go from 3 wins to 12 wins or 4 wins to 13 wins. So, I mean,
everything you said earlier, if they all broke their way.
Yeah.
Sure.
It could happen, but
don't –
I'm trying to get to 7 or 8,
it.
Right? Like, that's I'm trying to get to 7 or 8. We can worry about, you know, 10, 11, 12 later.
Yeah, 7 and 8 would be reasonable. If we go out, if we get 10, that would be excellent.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, look, if they get to 10, then that signals big step forward. Maybe Cam Ward does hit 4,000 yards on that front. Again, I'm with you. Like, I don't really care all that much about the 100 receptions thing. I mean, it'd be nice for somebody to hit that number at some point.
Good for them. You know, you got a little incentive in your contract.
Right. I mean, that part of it's just fascinating to me that nobody's ever done it.
Yeah.
Since the team has been in Tennessee. So that part of it is interesting to me. But other than that, I mean, it's, you know, you can have a great year as a receiver and not get to 100 catches. I mean, A.J. Brown, we know how good he was for the Titans. The most he ever had in a season for the Titans was 70, which is kind of amazing. Like, it's the most he ever had in a season was 70 catches for the Titans. So that just kind of shows that you can have a huge impact on the game. Like, Carnell Tate can end up being a great receiver and never catch 100 balls in a year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I look through the greatest of all time. Like, did Jerry Rice ever get 100? Maybe. Did Calvin Johnson, you know, ever get 100? I mean, it's more the yardage, the touchdowns, the average per catch that really defines greatness. Now, some of those guys did have the volume.
Depends on the type of receiver you are, too. Like, you know, people have made the Davante Adams comparison to Tate in terms of trying to, you know, the route running and all that, all those things, which I've always said, first off, if that's what he is, well, then great. Well, he went through, you know, basically a 6-year stretch where he was catching like 115 balls a year, like, right? And so if that's what he is, you're talking a guy that they moved all over the place. He was in the slot. He's carrying the offense. Yeah. So is Tate going to be that? I don't know. You know, the other guy that people talk about with him a lot is DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Hopkins, he had 1 year where he caught 111. He caught 115 a couple of times. And then other than that, it was like, 78, 96, 76. And again, some of these seasons you're talking about 16-game seasons rather than 17-game seasons. So you have to factor that into it as well. But like those are the two guys people will talk about with Tate in terms of like if he reaches his maximum level, could he be either one of those guys, like that style of player? Well, both those guys caught a lot of balls every year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I'm looking at this. So Calvin Johnson did do it once in his career. It was 122 for 1964.
Good grief.
This is stupid. Jerry Rice actually did it four times, including his 95 season when Steve Young was thrown to him, by the way, just saying. 122 catches, 1848, and 15 touchdowns. He had 1500, back in 90 when the lesser of the Niners quarterbacks during those era was playing, was thrown to him.
Yeah.
But he was that is when you have a guy that dominant, it's like all the numbers can be that high,
By the way, somebody asking if AJ ever hit the 100 catch mark in Philadelphia. He did one time, 106 catches, 1,400 yards.
That surprises me.
Seven touchdowns in 2023 for Philadelphia.
That surprised me that he got it over 100. That is a lot different than here.
Yeah.
But they, it's with AJ, it is smart. Well, it has been smart to get him the ball quickly, right? I mean, he's a tackle breaker and all that stuff. Joey from Gallatin says Michael Thomas had 149 in 20. Is that the single season record? Did he catch 100? I mean, I remember when he had a couple dominant seasons.
I think he broke the record when he made it.
Yeah. 149.
I don't know if that still stands.
I mean, that has to, right?
That's the record. Cooper Kupp got close. He had 145 in his monster year in 2021.
And there's another guy who just is – some guys like that, like Cooper Kupp to me was at his best, was basically like an extension of the running game even.
Yep.
He was a running back with the ball, which is kind of like A.J. Brown, But, yeah, Michael Thomas in that offense with Drew Brees, I mean – That was fun to watch. It'd be fun to say that about the Titans offense sometimes. Hey, that was fun to watch.
I need to see how many yards per catch did he average that year? 149 catches is 11.6 per catch. So not a huge number, but
no,
still a lot of catches.
Yeah, but yeah, you're contributing.
He was targeted
quite a bit to the offense.
185 times.
Wow,
185 times. How many times did Drew Brees throw the ball that year? That was 20. Apparently, in the NFC South in 2019, no one ran the ball at all. Like, you had Jameis throwing for 5,100 yards, and Drew Brees threw the ball. Let's see. He only threw it 378 times that year. Completion percentage of 74.3. He also got hurt that year, so there's that, too.
Yeah, that would have been a bit.
He only played 11 games.
Calvin Johnson in that 2012, Matthew Stafford targeted him 204 times.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
Yeah. And it was basically like, it was double cover. He was bracketed.
Doesn't matter.
Just fine. Just throw it up. 1964. That's a pretty good number.
That's pretty good.
That's the thing. That guy, he didn't have the longevity, but like a 1681, 1964, 1492, three straight years with 33 touchdowns. I mean, the run he had, it was like probably about as good as anyone's had.
Other than D-Mace, I mentioned Kendall Wright got 94. The Titans haven't had anybody really close to that other than those two guys. Drew Bennett would be the next one in 2004 at 80 catches. So it goes from D-Mace at 95, 96. Kendall Wright had 94. Delanie Walker at tight end had 94 in 2015 when he was the only person who could catch the football on the team. And then the next one is even close. It's Drew Bennett with 80 in 2004.
Texters asked about Rishard Matthews, thought he got close. He did not. He had 65 catches in 2016. He was one of the good stories. Yeah, he had 945 yards, 9 touchdowns. He had a really good – and then he quit like midway through 2017, which was just such a bad – and I was like, dude, get paid. What are you doing? Because, whatever. They brought in Corey Davis and what – Taywan Taylor. I don't know. It's like you're under contract. You're getting paid to play football. But continue to do that.
Ed on the text line saying, who has more to prove this year, Ward or Saleh? That's a good question. I would probably always lean number one overall pick quarterback in that discussion, but it's a good question. I mean, you're talking to a head coach that is on his second stop, but in the immediacy of it, I will go Ward.
I would go Ward because, again, you don't know how something's going to work out. But if Saleh comes out and his overall record, like the percentage, is just as bad or he gets a little worse because of this year, that's probably – the conversation's probably going to be, oh, they might have screwed up with Cam Ward. I just think you – whereas, and especially if that's the case really, honestly – with Saleh, it's like, look what he took over. You know, it's year one. I think this year, I think definitely the second year number one overall pick would be the answer.
Yeah. By the way, somebody asking about Frank Wycheck. What did he catch, like his highest total? He caught 70 two different times. But, you're talking about an offense that did not throw the ball all that much.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number, man. Yeah. He was underrated. Key guy.
He caught 70 in 98, and he caught 70 in 2000 as well. And he caught 69 in 99. So he's right around 70 for 3 years in a row. So in that offense where you're turning around and Eddie George is carrying the ball like 30 times a game, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up later this hour at 745. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock on the program here today. Coming up next, the Predators general manager search is still ongoing. What does all this mean for the head coach? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs at First Horizon Park coming up on Thursday. Caller 4, 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs coming up on Thursday at First Horizon Park. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad here in just a few minutes at 745. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. Joe, we discussed it last week. The Predators still in the midst of their search for general manager. And we went up and down as to what that looks like. Why is it taking so long? Why is it still taking so long? Who's going to end up being the general manager? All those things. And all those things are still answers that we don't know or that we don't have and questions that we don't know the answer to. Putting that part of it on the back burner for the moment, I am curious as to what this means for Andrew Brunette, right? You've got a new general manager that has not been hired. I would assume here in the next few days and weeks, they're going to hire somebody at some point. And then one of the first things you've got to determine if you're the new general manager, even beyond the draft and the free agent stuff, is, all right, what about your coach? Like, are you keeping Andrew Brunette next year? Is that something that the Predators are trying to push for you to keep Andrew Brunette and then make a decision after that? I mean, kind of the position I've taken on it is I'm leaving it totally up to the next GM. That'd be the way I would handle it. Like, if you want Andrew Brunette to be the head coach next year and then reevaluate after that, that's what we'll do. If you want to bring in your own guy as a head coach, then we'll do that. Like, that's kind of how I would do this. And it's not like, there are still some coaches out there that are available. It's not like there's a huge rush here in terms of, like, you got to either make a decision on Andrew Brunette right now or he's just going to be your coach next year. I mean, Bruce Cassidy's still out there. There's a lot of guys that are still out there and available in the coaching ranks. But I do wonder, like, how long this is taking. Does that signal anything to you one way or the other in terms of the Andrew Brunette part of this, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. It's good that we can revisit the weekly, hey, are they going to hire someone or what? Although Alex Doherty has me conditioned that it's like a month away still, so I'm going with that. But, there's basically could someone who you might – hire or might have hired be hired away somewhere else. Obviously there's other coaching moves out there, so I mean I guess you lose out on potentially could lose out on something like that, but I think if the new GM, as we've talked about, comes in, you would think that, and if he's going to make the change, I would think it would not be, I think I want to make a change, let's do a coaching search, let's see what's out there. I think it would be more like, this is the guy who I've had in mind, and so let's go do it. So I I still think ultimately it just depends on if that's the case. And that could certainly still be the case in a month or in a week or at 9:07 today when the Preds put out the press release at the Heritage GM.
Yeah, could be. Like, if it's Tom Fitzgerald, does that make it any more or less likely that Andrew Burnett is the head coach, given the fact that, you know, albeit briefly, they did play together here in Nashville. So there is that. Like, people have thrown that out there. I don't know. Like, my conventional wisdom would tell me if it's Fitzgerald, Burnett's probably the coach next year, and then they either reevaluate early in the next year or at the end of next season. Burnett's got 1 year left on his contract, I believe. So you're talking about, generally speaking, Joe, both the coach and the team oftentimes like to have kind of a longer-term solution figured out either way when you're heading into the final year of a contract, either in terms of he's out and we're moving on and getting somebody else, or we're signing him to an extension. It doesn't always play out that way. But I know coaches don't love going into a final year of their contract as with nothing decided moving forward. Now, I'm not saying that Andrew Burnett should have anything decided, because I think it makes total sense, if you are going to keep him, to see how it goes before you're making any sort of contract decision there. Like, if they extended him based on what we've seen to this point, I mean, that would be borderline reckless in my mind. So I have no problem with them keeping Andrew Burnett if that's the way that things go here. And we've talked about this. I think he deserves credit for keeping things steady this past year when it looked like it was totally going off the rails earlier in the year. But as we've also pointed out, at some point you can't start the season, you know, 6-11-5 or whatever it is that they've started every year and think that you're going to crawl out of it all the time. So that's, you know, that's just as much on the coach as it is anybody else. So I am very fascinated to see when they make this decision what that means for Andrew Burnett. I think a lot of Predators fans just assumed when Barry Trotz was stepping down that that was automatically going to mean a new coach is coming in at some point. I would say it's never really good news when you're the head coach, when the general manager who hired you is gone and there's not a laundry list of success that's in front of that with him being gone. So whether it's immediately or shortly into next year, like, I don't think the leash is going to be long either way on Andrew Burnett. And I think you got to know that if you're him heading into the situation. Like, that's probably best case scenario for you, is you're retained as head coach, and then you better start next season off pretty well, or you're going to be on the chopping block at that point.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be shocking if that's exactly how it turned out. And if it is Fitzgerald and they keep Burnett, that's probably like the least exciting outcome for fans that you could have. Not that, I mean, I don't know. I think people have a reasoned, middling kind of view on Burnett that you just laid out there. But still, if you're a fan, you want somebody new in the front office, fresh ideas, totally different, and you want that guy to have some hotshot coach that's okay, this is gonna be the next great young coach in the league. You know, that'd be the most exciting outcome. But I think what you laid out there is definitely possible. Caleb says, to me, it's simple. Barry's still the GM. He's not going to be the one to fire him. Yeah.
Well, Barry's not going to fire him. No.
Right.
I think we know that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, by the way, he shouldn't. Like, if he's not going to be the decision maker moving forward, he doesn't need to be the one making the decision on the coach now. So, I have no problem with Barry Trotz not firing Andrew Burnett over the last few weeks. It should be up to the next guy.
Absolutely. And there is a case, absolutely, to keep Andrew Burnett. And so that's exactly why that guy should have the opportunity. Craig says, if it's Fitzgerald, I'm going to lose a lot of faith. I want someone who the only thing they know about Predators hockey is where Nashville is on the map. The way we've been doing it has produced sustained high-end hockey for 26 years. Then that gets into if it is him, then you get into the question of, okay, sure, there are shared, you know, there are people who have worked together. There's a connection. He's part of, like, the tree.
Yep.
He played here. The playing here doesn't, man, whatever. He played here a long time ago. Yeah, there's a shared connection, maybe philosophically, right, with the New Jersey front office and all that. But is that really continuing? Like, to me, I think that's a little bit of a jump to say that's like continuing. That's just, it's going to be just business as usual because they hired Tom Fitzgerald.
Predemption on the YouTube chat says, I think the next GM will give Bruno a year. You want that bullet to use to keep your job security. No need for a GM, assuming it's an outside GM, to hire a new coach immediately. I mean, I have seen that strategy before. All right, you hold on to the coach that you've inherited for as long as you feel like you can, and then you fire him, and then that gives you a little bit more clock if you're the GM.
He's your meat shield.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Okay. Hi, meat shield. Well, good to meet you.
I guess the other part of that I would say is, until proven otherwise, and maybe Bill Haslam proves otherwise very quickly, but until proven otherwise, I'm operating under the assumption that this is pretty much the most patient organization in all of sports, because that's what they've been, is the most patient organization in all of sports. And we can debate the pros and cons of that all day, but that's what they've been. So, like, if you're a new general manager taking the job, I think that's something that's attractive about the job, is you're going to get some time here to get your system and your plan and all those things in place, unless it's just a total disaster, and then maybe you reevaluate at that point. You know, there's a little bit of a wild card here because Bill Haslam's not been in charge that long. So, you know, how long is he willing to wait on all this stuff? But until proven otherwise, like, I think one of the attractive parts of this job, beyond all the other stuff we talked about, if you're a general manager candidate, is you feel like you're going to get a pretty decent leash here as GM.
You do. But, yeah, ownership, you know, Bill Haslam also might look at this as like, okay, now it's been a transition period, and now, like, I'm –
Well, at some point, you're going to have to win.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, so maybe the impatience level does end up rising here a little bit. And in some cases, that might not be a terrible thing. Jacob of the YouTube chat says, Bruno did a good job of keeping the team on the rails at the end. We need to figure out who was in charge of the team that ran it off the road, set the car on fire during the first 2 months. I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, the start, if he's back, you would have to think that. Like what Prudential said, I don't think it's like you get a year no matter what. I don't think that
start's got to be better.
Case. Yeah.
And it's been 3 years in a row that they've had pretty bad starts, and they overcame it the first year. I mean, they had a bad start, middle, and finish the second year. And then last year, it's a horrific start, and then they played well, but it's too late. I mean, you just couldn't dig yourself out of it. So the starts and how poor they've been have been consistent over 3 years. That has to change next year. He won't be the coach. Like, I understand that Barry Trotz stuck with him. You're not going to get another general manager to stick with you on the final year of your contract if you're in December and you're the worst team in the league. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to get fired at that point. So, I think you have to know that if you're Andrew Burnett heading into this. Dennis says, new Preds GM, Chad Brinker. Is that why you stepped down?
Maybe. Just go across the street.
Take this thing over to the hockey side stuff.
Hey. He knows facilities. He knows security cameras. He knows sprinklers. So you could apply.
I mean, Saban's walking.
What does he know about ice? Forming ice.
I mean, he was up in Green Bay for a long ass time.
That's true.
He was around a lot of it.
He probably, if I had to guess, he's probably gone ice fishing at some point.
Oh, you would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
probably an expert.
It's not the worst idea, Dennis. You know, keep him in town.
Did you get a discount? Like, is Amy still paying him? Like, what's that look like?
That's a good point too. That's a good question. Yeah. Meanwhile, we haven't talked about the Titans' huge deep dive search for his replacement.
Yeah.
There's no reporting.
How's
on
that
it,
going?
But I'm sure they're just a super double secret probation search.
The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
All I know is I'm pathetic.
Let's talk about some love and sex, all right?
Also nicknamed Dr. Sex.
You guys, just all of you are so damn soft.
Couple inches, right? From, like, standard.
Oh, man, I thought I'd do my show about sex all day long. Yeah.
And you will respect my authority.
It's the excessive sex and the excessive violence.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out today at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe, the floor is yours.
Not about sex today. Just want everybody to know, okay? So if you're in the car, young people, well, we won't talk about that. We won't talk about any mythical characters who may or may not actually exist or anything like that, okay? but he does kind of sound like Cartman, doesn't he?
Respect my authority!
I can't wait. I can't wait today to find out how he's going to perpetuate talking about this story the entire day. Like, nothing's happened, right? Like, nothing's happened for a few days.
Well,
what are you going to do?
It's a long time.
Well, that's true. But if not, but if nothing else comes out, what's the angle?
So like I was saying, I think that red lingerie is better than black lingerie.
Okay. That's not technically – okay. All right. I'll get off that subject. All right. So 9 years ago, Tom Petty came to Bridgestone Arena. And I remember, you know, we had a conversation in my household, my wife and I, Katie. Happy Mother's Day. I cleaned the bathroom for you yesterday. You're welcome. And it was no easy task. So we had a conversation, and I famously said, man, let's just, you know, like, you know, the bills and the kid, like, let's get them next time. Let's get them next time, okay? And Joe Walsh, by the way, was playing guitar on the tour. And for people who may have seen Tom Petty at Bridgestone, I never saw Tom Petty, which is a regret because I love Tom Petty. And sadly, Tom Petty died a few months later in 2017. And that's actually the saddest part of the story. But, of course, this becomes a Rex Road Family story because Katie tells everybody the story. Oh, yeah. Well, I want to go see Tom Petty, but Joe said, no, we'll get him next time. So that's fine. She will continue. This will be a story she'll tell. I mean, I promise you at some, like, radio event, she's told you the story, right? Oh, yeah. I guarantee you she's told you the story. So, okay. So then the mantra in the home is always go to the show. That's great. I love it. So we've tried to live by that. So then Saturday night comes around. Now it's different because Katie hates the Eagles. She thinks the Eagles suck. Okay. I like the Eagles. I love some Eagles songs, but I really like the Eagles. And, like, I mean, how many chances more are there going to be to see the Eagles?
That's
right?
A good question.
Yeah, it's probably not many. So I campaigned hard to try to go to the Eagles on Saturday. And she was having none of it. And I was like, go ahead, go by yourself. Or, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? Then I started looking up set lists because I was like, okay, maybe they play Desperado and songs that I hate or whatever. They do. I hate that song. But I realized, like, I hate that this happens to me. Maybe it happens to you. Like, I thought Joe Walsh might be dead. He's not. He's alive. And he's playing on the tour. And I love Joe Walsh.
Good to know.
Yeah. Congrats on being alive. And, like, they play In the City, which is a great Joe Walsh song for the Eagles, but, like, they play Life's Been Good. Joe Walsh plays Life's Been Good. They play Funk 49 when he was with the James Gang. That's a great song. They play Rocky Mountain Way. That's another great Joe Walsh song. So it's not just an Eagles concert. Like, they have awesome Joe Walsh songs. And I didn't go. And I just think I'll probably never see the Eagles. I mean, Don Henley and Joe Walsh are two all-timers. I mean, Vince Gill is playing with them, and he's basically taking the Glenn Frey role. That's awesome. I need someone to tell me that the concert sucked, okay? If you need to lie to me, lie to me. I need you to tell me that it was a trash concert and that I'd miss nothing because I have total FOMO right now and regret. And I'll be honest with you. Last night I was looking – I was like, where else are they going? I'm gonna go find them somewhere and see the tour, even though they're in my backyard Saturday night. So someone tell me they sucked, please.
Looks like they're in Davie, Florida coming up Wednesday. Yeah. And then Arlington.
Yeah, it doesn't help. No, it's a bad deal. It doesn't help. And then they're going back to the Sphere in Vegas, but it's not to the fall. And it's a
lot of time in the Sphere. They're in the Sphere for a while.
And I've seen you two in the Sphere, and I love the Sphere. I would advise anybody going to the Sphere, don't be too messed up when you go in the Sphere.
Let's head to the phone line. Welcome in Gover to the program. Gover, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Tell me they sucked, Gover.
Rex Rudd, I can't tell you that because I didn't see the show either. But okay. I will say that I'm fresh off of my 44th Dave Matthews show in Memphis last weekend.
Nice.
And we missed you, buddy. And I'll tell you that we are now too old for general admission, VIP all the way. That's not why I'm calling.
Here we go.
Just relate to that. I'm calling because our best friends that we play cards with every night tells a phenomenal story about how when she was in high school here in Brentwood, that she had tickets to see the Victory Tour, Michael Jackson.
Oh, man. Yep.
She got all dressed up, and her mom found out that she hadn't done her homework, and she wasn't allowed to go.
And never saw
Michael Jackson live after that. So please understand that as bad as yours is, there are people that have had it worse.
That's amazing. Thank you, Gover.
Thank you, Gover.
Have a great day, guys.
Oh, that hurts, man. That's a tough one. That might be the worst one I've heard.
Get that homework done.
Wow.
Make sure it's done.
That is a tough one. I'll tell my worst one.
Good parenting. There we go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, like that. You as a parent, you owe, I hope that like she got ice cream every time she wanted after that or whatever she wanted. I'll tell my worst one. I know I've told it on here before, but freshman in college, Red Hot Chili Peppers in that album. They're playing the auditorium at Michigan State, which is like right next to my dorm, which is this awesome little auditorium. And I got a chance to go. Guy on my floor had a $5 ticket. He was like, anybody go with me? $5. Nah, I got to study for a midterm tomorrow. Well, not only was it the Red Hot Chili Peppers in their prime, there were two opening bands that I hadn't yet heard of, did a few months later. I listened to both of them all the time, called Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, $5. No thanks. I'm good.
Thought you were going to say Creed. Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Bobby to the program. Bobby, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy. Good.
Hey, I was there, Joe. So they came out, first song, they played Hotel California, I guess from their point of view, to get it out of the way. Then they did, I forget what the next one. Everybody, most everybody's still standing up, you know, to rock and roll show, right? So then Henley starts talking, and he says, all right, well, we want everybody to sit down so the people behind you can see. Like, sit down? You kidding me, right? So, yeah. Wasn't great.
There we go.
How was the music, though?
Average. I mean, I've seen them.
There we go.
I saw the Hotel California tour. I mean, I've seen them quite a few times. So, I mean, you know, it was they're getting old.
Thank you, Bobby.
I feel a little better. Thank you. I feel a little bit better, actually.
Rex Rhodes' mood has instantly been lifted.
I heard about the sitting down thing, actually. Marquise told me, because Marquise's wife went to this show.
Yeah.
And told me about the sitting down thing. I was like, that is a class. you know where I'm getting old.
Sit down, man. You've been standing up too long.
Don't make much noise and disrupt the elderly at our concert.
Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.